Well, I don't know how long I'll preach this morning. In 2004, I gave a message on modesty for women. I wanted to re-preach the message, but I'm greatly burdened on two issues: modesty and social media. So I've rewritten that message in part. I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 12. I'll give that message in part and then talk a little about something I'm not qualified to speak about, social media, because I hardly know how to handle my own phone. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It was mentioned in Sunday school class this morning. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I gave this message in 2004, the first part. And that time I preached in three churches in the area. And recently I was burdened about the subject of modesty and another subject, and I decided to give some of the earlier messages, but I'm changing it somewhat to for the needs of today. But then I want to add a few thoughts, as I mentioned, on social media, and I think it's a very crucial thing for us to think about. So I begin as I did almost 20 years ago. It went like this. Why am I speaking on the topic of modesty this morning? Before I did that first message, my wife and I were driving to town, and I thought, though I am not in the habit of listening to the radio much, we listened to CIM. It was a family program that was on, and they were dealing with modesty. It was one of the finest programs I have heard on radio. Well, the next day I was driving to town again at the same time, and I checked to see if I could pick up on some of the program. I could, and this day they dealt with things like earrings and nose rings and belly button rings, etc. And to put it mildly, it was disappointing to listen to at least some of their views. Nevertheless, I thanked the program for openly challenging preachers to preach on this thing called modesty. They asked this question: why are preachers so afraid to preach on this topic? Then they suggested various reasons for that. That's what I gave some years ago. Now, when Paul says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, he is not pounding the pulpit. The picture is one that is coming alongside somebody else and seeking to gently point out something that needs correction in their lives. He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. I do not know why translations translate this word as mercies. It is compassions. Compassion is not mercy. It can lead there, but only if what it does is right. One of the reasons Christians drift into all kinds of questionable things is because preachers fail to address issues. In 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul calls on Timothy, a young pastor, to convince, and the word is convict, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and teaching. Then he says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In discussing the problem of modesty, I'm going to reuse much of what I gave many years ago. In dealing with modesty, I am dealing in particular with the feminine side of this topic. I'm dealing in particular with dress that is seductive in nature. Some lady said years ago after I did the message, why did he only talk to ladies? There is an area in which ladies are particularly prone to error. It is not that men are altogether in the clear on some of these issues, and maybe especially worldliness in dress and hair and jewelry. But it is especially an area that the evil one tempts women in because of the nature of their makeup. They were not made up wrong. It's the devil that distorts. Now, I do not think ladies need to dress in Victorian-style clothing. And I think if men require that of their wives, they need to consider how they dress as well. I expect men who expect this of their wives, I see men who expect this of their wives, but you would not be able to tell from them whether they are part of the world or not. When God created man and woman, he created them with an interest in the opposite gender, and God created this interest with a purpose that would benefit both man and God. Then God clearly instructed man in the area in which that interest could be legitimately enjoyed, and he called it marriage. We need to hear that today, don't we? And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good, very good. And then the greatest tragedy of all time happened. Man sinned. Man failed God. Well, God immediately realized that man was in deep trouble. God knew that this desire he had created in man for the opposite gender was so strong that if he did not do something about it, this desire would be so fueled and fed by nakedness that it would destroy men. Amazingly, Adam and Eve, right after sinning, realized a problem in the same area. As soon as their eyes were opened to the knowledge of good and evil, they realized their nakedness, and they set out about sewing together fig leaves to cover their bodies. Shame of nakedness in public was one of the first consequences of sin. And the solution, shame readily told man, was to cover their nakedness while in public. When God saw man's poor excuse for clothing, we find in Genesis 3:21 that he made clothing of skins for them. What is the first clear message? Man needs to cover himself in public. Second, we learn that man must not cover himself with clothing of his own design or clothing he feels appropriate. God must be the designer. And I would conclude from this that the principles that govern the design of the Christian's clothing must not come from man, but from God Almighty himself. And I propose further that those principles must be gathered from the Word of God. Well, after sin, the devil began to exploit that desire God had created within man, and man began to use it for his own lustful ends. And in all history, this interest God created between man and woman has been misused as few others. To this very day, the world misuses this great interest God created in both man and woman and exploits it for his own sinful, lustful end. Now, I'm addressing the feminine side of this thing this morning. Let me say something about that to help our younger men and ladies. One of the key ways God chose to interest the masculine gender was by sight. Second, one of the key ways God chose for the feminine gender to attract man was by her appearance. And I do not have to tell you what the world has done with that. The world cannot even advertise logging equipment without picturing some seductively dressed woman. I sometimes think that, this is what I wrote years ago, I sometimes think that if I were a woman and I saw how men treat this, I would want to become a woman preacher. Now this misuse abounds on every hand. You could say amen. Does it? Every hand. The radio program I mentioned spoke of how young men have complained that they cannot even find refuge from this problem in the church. And so we ask, what is the origin of the modesty problem? Well, it originates with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It is an age-old problem. God-given desire in men and... Oh, I might add that the devil exploited this God-given desire in men and women, and he has led multiplied millions astray through this. And so I want us to consider next the problem of the modesty problem. And what could that be? Well, it is the same as the music problem. Is there a music problem? Yes, it's the same. Music and dress have several things in common. One of those things is that they are not governed by clearly defined rules. Rather, they are governed by principles. And those principles for the Christian are to be discovered in the Word of God. It may come, by the way, you realize I'm speaking to a broader audience this morning than ours here. I have a concern for here. I have a broader concern. Now, why does God not give more clear, specific guidelines on music or dress? Why does he deal with principles? I want to propose to you that it is because man is created a creative being, and thus music and clothing are ever changing. When you take all of the different countries and cultures and styles of music and dress, what kind of a book would it take to address all of those in particular? And so how has God decided to handle this complex problem? By giving general principles that cover a vast diversity of situations. Some years ago, I was on the phone with a missionary, and he said to me, "Prove to me that rock music is wrong." The missionary. "Okay," I said. "First, you prove to me that smoking is wrong. Then I will prove to you that rock music is wrong." So he said, "Well, that's easy enough. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're not to defile the temple." I said, "Well, that's good, but it doesn't actually say anything about smoking, does it?" He didn't give a specific "thou shalt not smoke" command. But I said, "You gave a good biblical principle that would address smoking." In the same way, you cannot go to a verse that says rock music is bad, but it is bad. And we know it. We just don't want to admit it. And so it is with modesty. Nowhere can you go to find that it says where the neckline of a dress should be, or where it should be, or how long the sleeves should be, or how long the slit could be, or how tight the pants could be. Can't find a verse like that. But there are biblical principles that address it in such a way that any person that desires godliness will be able to discern in every case what is right and what is wrong. And we want to look at several of those principles. Let me add here, today we are as plagued with tattoos for men as women are with clothing. Well, they're plagued with the tattoos too. And they say, "Well, show me a verse that deals with that," and so you do. And there is one, and they, "Oh, that's in the Old Testament." So is creation. Let's go to Romans 12. We want to look at the solution to the modesty problem. The solution is to find the principles set out in the Word of God that deal with this area. So let's read those verses again. Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Most, if not all, immodest dress can also be traced to the sin of worldliness. And worldliness is a manifestation of the sin of pride. The radio program I mentioned earlier did such a fine job one day. When I listened the next day, they were dealing with things like nose rings and belly button rings and so on. And I was as disappointed as I was delighted the first day. And I pondered, where did they miss it? Well, they recognized the problem of immodesty clearly enough, but they missed something more subtle than immodesty. They failed to identify worldliness. That is a most common thing in our... By the way, you know what? Many years ago, didn't matter if you were Baptist or Pentecostal, there was preaching on clothing. And there was more modesty. Today, you will go a long way to find anybody preach on clothing. If Christians would learn to recognize worldliness and would avoid it, the majority of the immodesty problem would disappear. By the way, women, you want to check out where some of your clothing comes from? Check out who originated the styles. You'll find. Look at present worldliness for a moment. When I gave this years ago, I said, right at this time, and then I asked, or is it past already? Style has these low-cut pants at the hips and short shirts or t-shirts. Who remembers those? They're gone, huh? I heard a preacher many years ago, he said, you know what styles, you know what they do? They take the old style and put it in a bag, and they keep putting it in a bag, and they keep putting it in a bag, and then they turn the bag over, start over again. And you've got the whole same thing again. I can tell you without a doubt that this fad was not designed in heaven. Yet Christians all over were following it. It's time to wake up. I can assure you that these fads in the long run will get worse and worse. And are they worse? Jeremiah said in 12:5, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? If we cannot stand up to this obvious piece of worldliness, what will we do in the future? What is the cure for present-day immodesty? Here's the first principle. Do not be conformed to this world. Why don't you look at yourself when you dress and ask, is this worldly? Am I worldly? I cannot take time to deal with this passage exegetically, but the conformity spoken of here has to do with what we look like on the outside. We say, well, I heard that in the Summerfellow Church and Old Colony Church. They were right. On this, they were right. So we need to identify worldliness, then agree with God that it is sin and wrong, and then abstain from it. The principle of not being conformed to this world, as Romans 12:1-2 teaches, would largely solve the immodesty problem. By the way, it would solve problems for men as well. We're not all in the clear, you know. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 9 and 10. I want to just briefly look at a few principles. It says in verse 9, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. In this passage, the context is one of prayer. Paul has instructed that prayer be made for all men and for all that are in positions of authority, verses 1 and 2. Then he instructs men to pray with uplifted and holy hands without wrath and doubting. And then he says, in like manner also. And now he will speak of where a lady's emphasis should be when it comes to dress. So he speaks of how ladies are to adorn themselves. The word for adorn is cosmeo. We get our word cosmetics from this word. It comes from the Greek word cosmos, meaning world. It speaks of the orderly arrangement of the externals. The three major areas he will deal with are these. They are major areas where women struggle. They are hair, number one, clothing, number two, and jewelry. So he will now instruct them on how they are to adorn, dress, or attire themselves. The principles given in these verses are indispensable to our topic. First, it is to be with modest apparel. By the way, I'm just mostly happy with the dressing in our church. Now, the word modest is cosmos, cosmios, also coming from the word cosmos, and means, according to Vines, orderly, well-arranged, decent, and modest. I think there can be little doubt that this word modest would include refraining from clothing with seductive overtones. Seductive clothing is that which draws on the physical attraction of men. It may have its place, but not in public. We learn in the Garden of Eden is not in public is not such a place. I commend our older ladies both for how they dress. I said this 20 years ago. And the effort they put into their children in this area. I want to further encourage you parents, share with your daughters on the importance of modesty. Years ago, by the way, for our families with young children, you know where you want to start? Right down here. Years ago, we had a Bible teacher here, and he said, what a haven our community was compared to where he came from. Then he said, but some of your young people are already changing. By today, that has moved a long way. Today, we have to say they have changed. Parents, you who know the general principles of how God created men and women, do not get tired of battling the battle. It is a battle. Keep telling your children over and over, and someday, hopefully, they'll be just like you. Huh. Let me add one point to parents. On the radio program I mentioned earlier, one of the ladies had this insight. She said something to this effect. We teach our girls to dress improperly from a young age. When they are still very young, we dress them with skimpy clothing. What are we teaching? I want to exhort the young ladies, say from age 13 and as long as you live at home, do you obey your parents? Do you obey your conscience? Do you desire and beg for the latest fads? Do you have to be in? Let me ask you something. When you marry, what kind of a man do you want? Someone who is interested in a girl that dresses like that? Did you know that a man can recognize what kind of a woman you are by how you dress? Listen to Proverbs 7:10. It says, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. You could tell. Now, I do not claim to understand, ladies. I do understand some now after years of ministry, even some older ladies. I understand men better. Ladies, if you dress immodestly, you may well get a man who likes an immodest woman and will not bode well for you. He may not stay true to you. I want to challenge you to go before God and ask Him to help you dress your body the way He would like. Oh, that's boring. No? It'd be good for you. Ask Him to guide you, then ask Him to lead the right man to you. If you will seek to please God, though it may often be tough, He will guide you every step of the way. Let me add here that when I first preached this message, a woman I did not know went home and went through her wardrobe and removed a large section and got rid of it. My daughter was with me when I gave, I think it was this message in the church, and she was sitting beside a lady and she kept pulling on her dress to try to get it down a little further. She knew where it wasn't in line. You see, unless a preacher points out, it doesn't do a thing. You could talk about sin and dress, but when you point out, now God can work. The second principle given in our text is that she is to adorn herself with propriety. The King James verse says with shamefacedness or shamefacedness. And the word is eidos. It literally means with downcast eyes. It is a word that speaks of having concern for others. You see, my desire may be to dress for what it will do for me, but I am to dress with concern for others. Vine, quoting Bishop Trent, says, eidos would always restrain a good man from an unworthy act. Oh, what principles of dress are these? You see, a hard and fast rule might address one situation. These principles address them all. The third principle given in this passage says that a woman should dress with moderation. The original word here is sophrosune. Kittle says it has to do with says it has such nuances as rational, moderate, prudent, modest, restrained, or disciplined. He says further, a link with eidos may be seen. Proper conduct rooted in the eidos is marked by restraint or modesty. I think it means a mind controlled by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. It is a mind that keeps one from going from one extreme to the other. So Paul has instructed ladies on the external appearance positively, and now he will do so negatively. First, they are not to adorn themselves with braided hair. We say, well, that's wrong with that. Our Mennonites do that all the time, right? Well, that's not what he's talking about. This was the fancy hairdo of the day. This was being in. What they did was plait the hair into braids with gold strands and stuff like this and make everything just so. In short, I think this command is do not adorn yourself with the latest hair fashion. Furthermore, Paul says do not adorn yourself with gold or pearls. Today, young people have gold or silver in their tongues or in their navel, earrings up one side and down the other. Maybe some men too. That's worse. I am so old-fashioned, I frown on one, never mind six up one side and down the other. By the way, you don't have to live by my conviction. You understand that, do you? But when God talks to you, listen to him. So I ask, what does it have to do with godliness? Nothing. When we adorn our bodies, and adorn they should be, we ought to always ask, who am I doing this for? Am I dressing to please my husband or his friends? Am I dressing to please God or man? And last, the passage says, do not let your adorning be with costly clothing. Three great areas for women: hair, jewelry, and clothing. I ask you, are these three areas under the control of the Holy Spirit, or are they under the control of self? Well, the last great principle Paul lays down here is that women ought to adorn themselves with that, verse 10, which is proper for women professing godliness. What a principle! How often would this principle not settle whether one should buy a certain item of clothing or not? Is it appropriate for a woman professing godliness? How often could men ask this question? Listen to 1 Peter 3:3-4. It says this: do not let your adornment be merely outward. By the word merely doesn't belong there. It's been added by the New King James. arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious where? In the sight of God. Peter covers the same three great areas here, and he says, do not let your adornment be that outward adorning of arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting on of fine apparel. That's the idea there. That is how it ought not to be. Now listen how he instructs ladies to adorn themselves. But let your adornment be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible adornment of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Would you not agree with me this morning that these principles would settle all questions of what is modest and what is not in matters of dress? I had a hard time not preaching on the exegetical things that I see in this passage. Let me give you one. It says in Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world. It could be better translated like this, stop being conformed to this world. That's what all people do naturally. Stop doing it. In this text, it could be translated, stop letting your adornment be merely outward. In other words, when you don't have the instruction of the Word of God, this is how man generally behaves. He needs to stop it. The last guiding principle with regard to the modesty problem I want to mention, and it applies to all areas of life, is found in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to what? The glory of God. Do not let the glory of man be your measuring guide. Find God's will for yourself in the book of all books, then walk in it faithfully. I have another concern I want to address this morning. I want to address it, though only briefly. To the lady who said, why did he only speak to women? Let me now address something that applies to both men and women. Since I gave that message on modesty, we have a new problem that exceeds in importance that which we just looked at. Here it is. Addiction to social media. Romans 12, 1 through 2 teaches us to stop being conformed to this world. Then it teaches us how to do that. I like that about the Word of God. It doesn't only say what not to do, but says this is what to do. It says we are to be transformed by the renewing of what? The mind. As I understand this passage, the word mind has to do with the data storage area of the mind. To be conformed to the world speaks of our outward appearance. To be transformed has to do with our inner being. We get our word metamorphosis from this word, transform. When we change what we have stored in the mind by repentance and we put in the right information, it will change what we look like on the outside, what we smell like, what we walk like. What we listen to. I'm thinking this morning, especially of the subject of social media. I do not qualify to speak about this subject. I hardly know how to use my phone. I don't even know what most of the social media platforms are, other than I read about them. I'm concerned for the future because of what I see and hear even among us. One of the big things that makes social media so dangerous is that there is so much good, and there is. I use the internet to study. I have a good-sized library, bigger than most. But on the internet, I can find things I don't have in my library, and I can find it faster, and I use it. But if one is not diligent, one can spend a lot of useless time by being lured into one thing after another, say, I'm not talking just to you. I talk to me. I've been thinking about my own life. There are many dangerous hooks on social media. The dangers of the internet are huge. It seems to me that social media is wreaking havoc among our own young people. Why isn't there more spiritual interest? And it may go wider than our young people. Let me ask you, how many of us here are addicted to social media? Don't tell me. Here's the definition of an addiction. An addiction is a chronic dysfunction of the brain. What did Paul say about the mind? Of the brain system that involves reward, motivation, and memory. It's about the way your body craves a substance or behavior, especially if it causes a compulsive or obsessive pursuit of reward and lack of concern over consequence. I wonder if some of us know what is happening to us. This was worth a whole message right here. How many of us can sit down and visit without social media in our hands? Notice it says addiction is a chronic dysfunction of the brain. This is the heart. This is the mind. What did Romans 12 say? Be transformed by the new renewing of your mind. The top 10 social media platforms, guess on the first one.
Facebook.
Number two, YouTube. Thank you. Boy, you guys got this down. Huh? Then number three, WhatsApp. Number four, Instagram. Listen, some of these have such good uses. I see people who use Facebook in such good ways. I'm concerned for some of what I see. Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, Pinterest, Reddit, LinkedIn. I'd signed up to LinkedIn many years ago. I still haven't got rid of them. I would like to get rid of them. Might have to change my email address or something. Twitter, number 10, and there are more. I don't know what most of those are. Let me ask, are you on Facebook? Are you on Instagram? Let me ask you, how much time do you spend here? I hear of young people who got their phone under their pillow, and as soon as that thing beeps, they're like, they got to get this thing. Let me ask you, would you mind if we could open your communications and display them? Now, I know it's not appropriate for all things, even when it's legit. But it's worth asking, isn't it? What kinds of pictures or words do you post? Let me ask you, what would the Lord say to what you post? When I thought about all this, I thought about myself and I said, how much news do I need to watch? How much time do we spend on YouTube? How much time do we spend on modern video games? I ask you, are many of those games not a total waste of time? I mean, total? Total? I'm not against games. They improve your mind, help you to think, so when they lead you along and lead you where you're supposed to go, I am totally opposed to these games. Let us ask ourselves, What is social media doing to my mind? It's in Romans 12 to you. Does it help me to renew my mind? Oh, the hooks on social media. Producers have a way of using hooks in that good stuff to lead one a lot of places he had no intentions of going. Do you remember what Pastor Darrell said? He expressed my thought and said how nice it would be if a pastor could open somebody's heart and say, "Oh, sure enough, I'm a Christian." But he said, if you can look at their Facebook page, and maybe I could add Instagram or others, there you get a look into their heart. Is he right? What did he have for supper? It's all there. Oh, yes. There's a lot of good stuff. But there's a very big danger in the hooks. Ever so slowly, we cool off. Let me ask you, how much time do you spend on social media? How much time do you spend, I mean stuff that just kind of useless, and I'm not against R&R, but just not against that. But a straight, plain waste of time, I'm against. Do you know when you're on some of this stuff how boring the Bible looks? It's boring, right? I'm talking about games that lead you on and on. I was recently sent a link that dealt with the game Minecraft. It may well be that if you play these games that you do not know what is happening to you. Oh, you think? Yes, you think you know. I am old and out of the loop. I know that. And you may say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, the devil told me that one time too. Of dealing with a lady who had spirits. And I said, now, what's he telling you now? And he says, you don't know what you're doing. And it was right. But in the end, the devil lost. The link to Minecraft I got was done in 2014. It was put out by the Brian Call. You can check this out. I do not know anything about the game, but I cannot imagine it has gotten better from 2014. Do you think it's been getting better? Okay, so you know the answer. If you complete the game at that time, this is what it said. And the universe said, I love you. And the universe said, you have played the game well. And the universe said, you are stronger than you know. And the universe said, the light you seek is within you. And the universe said, you are not alone. And the universe said, I live because you are love. I made a misprint here. And the game was over. I'm still quoting. And the game was over. And the player woke up from the dream. And the player began a new dream. And the player dreamed again. Dreamed better. And the player was the universe. And the player was love. Anybody know where that's going? What day are we in? Do you know how boring reading the Bible sounds after you play a game like that? Sure you do. Now that you think about it. Ask yourself, am I being conformed to the world? I ask you, is playing this game a sin? Play right to the end and see what messages you get. And it's going to lead you by the nose. And you are going to go. And the time you spend is a total waste of time, if not in the negative. I ask you, is that not a sin? I'm not saying all those games are wrong. I don't know enough to say that. You say you are a Christian, and you say Jesus is your Lord, but you can't put this down. Who is your Lord? Let me recommend to you a talk show on YouTube called Are You Entertaining Spirits Unaware? You might want to order the book recommended there. Now, I have a hard time recommending anything that comes from south of the border and there's nothing north of the border. So what do you do? These guys south of the border, so many of them watch about everything that's produced. But this came from south of the border. You can get it on YouTube. Are You Entertaining Spirits Unaware? When preachers south of the border get concerned about video games and social media, it must be pretty bad. Listen to Romans 12:2 now. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, what was it? Can anybody tell me the rest of the verse? It's okay. I wouldn't be able to probably if you asked me either. I ask it for emphasis. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, if you do not do this, you won't be able to. You think you got it, but you don't. I listened to a young man named Charlie Kirk. You may have heard him. He said, and I quote, TikTok is a garbage platform designed by neuroscientists, the nerve, to make you dumb and easy to control. Every study shows that the whole model is to be hyper addictive in short video format. He said, if you want any kind of success besides being a TikToker, get off TikTok. I don't even know what TikTok is. The redeemable value of TikTok is negative. Now you can come back to me and say, the guy doesn't know what he's talking about here. Let me show you what. Then he said, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just being honest. It's a Chinese military operation to make American teenagers super dumb. It was added that the Chinese do not let their own young people on to TikTok. They ban it for their own young people. He said that if you ban TikTok, if you ban it, depression will go down. Maybe some of us should get rid of Facebook or Instagram. Do you remember the words, be transformed by the renewing of your mind? I don't know what you all, including young people, are on, but this site said TikTok is super addictive. So don't even look at it after you hear about it now. If you didn't know about it, you probably do. There are all kinds of social media that are super addictive. And if you are addicted, it is time to get off. Off. If you are addicted. And how does one get unaddicted? Maybe the best way is by doing it all at one time. Maybe I've told you about this. Do you know how to get rid of a habit? Tell me, if you take the H off habit, what do you have? A bit. So now take the A off, what do you have? Still have a bit. Now take the B off, what do you have? You still have it. So why not just chuck the whole works? Have you heard the saying, lock, stock, and barrel? It goes something like this. Many years ago, a man had a muzzle-loading gun, and he went to have the lock fixed. And the gunsmith said, well, it looks like you need a new stock as well. He said, okay, we'll replace it too. Then the Swiss said, but look at the barrel. It totally wore out. He said, well, yeah, I guess you could put a new barrel on too. And the Smith said, well, if you replace the lock, the stock, and the barrel, you just might as well get yourself a whole new gun. There's lock, stock, and barrel. I have a friend. He has a business. And all he has is a flip phone. I have not asked why he has a flip phone. He's more old-fashioned than I am. I'm younger. But I wonder how many should do the same. No, I am not advocating that if you know how to use it and you're using it well and you warn your young people. Parents, did you know that you can check your young people's phones and you still may not know where all they have been? Did you know that? Did you know there are ways around some of those safety features? Did you know that parents are sometimes the last to know? I watch news. Is it wrong to watch news? Or is it? I've heard this expression. So-and-so is a news junkie. Have you heard it? I ask you, does that sound holy and just and good? No, I like to know what's going on in the Ukraine. But when I was doing this, I said, if you are watching news for the Ukraine, you better be praying for them too. Being a news junkie, does that sound to you like renewing the mind or ruining the mind? Well, it can be the ruin. And I'm not against news. Should I ask myself, am I a news junkie? Do you know what a news junkie is? Somebody addicted to the news. I would dare to say that some of us, and it may be more than we think, are inching down the pathway, not to Minecraft, but to Mindcraft. You know about the frog in the hot water, the water that's being heated. I know who the crafter is of Mindcraft. Maybe I'll ask Ria to come and play us a song. You may turn to it. 562. In conclusion, just play so soft, Rhea. It's a long time since we've heard a song done like this for this. I remind us first that there is a problem of clothing, and it was there from the Garden of Eden and came with sin. Since then, man has exploited a wonderful God-given attribute in man and drawn multiplied millions into its vice and ruin. Some women will say, well, let men keep their lustful eyes to themselves. Listen, if you dress modestly, I agree with you. If you dress temptingly, you are the sinner. You are holding a match to the gasoline. You say, don't burn, don't burn. I remember hearing this song years ago. Let me see how many are this old. It wasn't God who made honky-tonk angels. How many have heard this song? Tells you how old I am, right? It wasn't God who made honky-tonk angels. No. But let me tell every woman this, it was God who made men. And God don't make no junk. You see, that desire in men is not a weakness. It was made by God. But ever since the fall of man, the devil has been doing all he can to make it a weakness and a trap that leads into the abyss by the seductiveness of women. Jean, would you turn to that song and bring me a song, please? And like gasoline and matches, you know what happens with gasoline and matches? If you don't obey the rules, you're going to burn. But there isn't just seductive clothing. Thank you. There is worldly clothing, plenty of it. I thank God for every mom and dad who hold the line. I challenge moms and dads and young people, win it. Win it. Hair, jewelry, clothing. Do any of these have a hold on you? Win it. Take the word of God, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shield of faith, and win it. You may need to pray over various areas of life. Even, or should I say, especially such as swimming gear. Well, consider it. Pray about it. And when God gives instructions, win it. You may say, Pastor Phil, I don't agree with you about. Don't worry about disagreeing with me. You will not have to give account to me someday. You and I will both stand before God Almighty, and we're both going to give account. But this morning, if you know you have heard from God on some area, will you commit to changing it? I do not expect everyone to agree with everything I have said, but as a professing Christian, I do expect you to be honest and agree with the Lord. When I originally gave this message, I was especially addressing grads in our local high school. I said, grads of 2005, you know what is right and what is wrong. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't let anybody see you in a skimpy worldly outfit. Set a standard. I have been amazed at our Mennonites. Unbelievable shame. Shame on parents. Shame on young people. Shame on us preachers who sit silently by. Shame. As God Almighty is shamed. Parents, help your young person. Young person, you see to it that God is honored in your life. You say, but I'm just one person. I thank God for every one person like that. Let me add, young person, do others snicker because you don't have an iPhone or some app? Do not be squeezed into the mold of the world because of the fear of man. In that message, I addressed grads and said, who planted this question in your mind? I wonder if I should go to the dance afterward. This was in grad. Who designed that question for you? God or the devil? Today we have to ask, who asked if you should go to the dance or social drink after the wedding? Christian wedding! We might ask, who said you have to have a cell phone? Who said you need a tattoo? How does one live so he can say this? But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the cross does? It slays. Doesn't settle till you're dead. And so, in closing, I want to give you opportunity to respond to the message this morning. Maybe you are in a house church somewhere. Maybe you are somewhere else. It's hard to stand and commit there too. I encourage you to stand as well. And if the Lord has spoken to you, or I should say, if the Lord has not spoken to you, please do not stand. Oh, it's just simply not necessary. Not even if others do. But young ladies, would you commit yourself like Daniel, not to defile yourself with that which is ungodly or worldly? If the Lord has spoken to your heart and you would be willing to publicly say, Lord, here I am willing to dress the way you wish. You just let me know what you want. The young people, anywhere you may stand. Parents of children, are you willing to stand and commit yourself to not grow tired in setting a standard in your home? Are you willing to follow the nudge of the Holy Spirit when He prompts you to set a standard? If the Lord has spoken to your heart, are you willing to stand and say, I am willing to make myself accountable to these people by standing in their presence to follow your leading and training? Anyone, God has spoken to you, I'm giving you opportunity to commit and stand. Grandparents, are you sometimes grieved the way your children or grandchildren handle some of these things? Do you say, my duty is finished? My kids have grown up. They have to see it. They have to see to their own life now. I know just how hard it is, but grandparents, sometimes grown children need a wee little word. Am I right, grandparents? Yes. Oh, how hard it is to give a wee little word. And sometimes grandchildren need a wee little word. Would you commit yourself in a new way and say, Lord, if I need to say something, I am willing. Here's an opportunity for grandparents. I'm standing. Would you say, I'm willing to commit to this by standing? Regarding social media, let me ask you, has the Lord spoken to you this morning? I wonder, can you sit down without a cell phone in your hand? Maybe someone in a house church or someone elsewhere, will you stand and say, God has spoken to me about something? Now, in each of these commitments, don't stand unless you say, Lord, I'm willing to do something about this. I'm going to ask the Lord what He wants me to do, and if He tells me, I'm going to do it. You know, I know in my own life how reserved I become when it comes to a time like this. But if we don't commit, we might not even get the H off of habit. Stand and I will pray. Ungodly clothing, worldliness, being squeezed into the mold of this world, training children, talking to grown married children or grandchildren, social media, pictures, and words I post. And maybe you say, phew, I'm so glad He didn't mention this or that. Well, then you stand too. That was the Lord. That's worse than when I'm speaking. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. I want no blot in my life. I want to live right. I want to live for God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just acknowledge our huge need of You. And we acknowledge that we need to hear from You. And I pray, O Lord God, You might do a work in all of us. Do Your work in me. Cleanse me where I need cleansing. Help me to get rid of anything that shouldn't be there. Help me to be discerning and to cut things that already have gotten a hook into me. I ask, Lord, that You might be honored and glorified in these lives. And then, Lord God, someday when we stand before You and we have dealt with these things, we will be clean before you. And now I ask your blessing, and I ask, Lord, that you would give the courage needed to each one who has stood to take care of those things you have pointed out. And you are the Almighty, the searching one who knows every corner of our heart. And now we commit ourselves to you, Lord, to live for you and bring honor and glory to your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.